This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Speakers, publishers, consultants, coaches, and info marketers unite. The Speaking of Wealth show is your roadmap to success and significance. Learn the latest tools, technologies, and tactics to get more bookings, sell more products, and attract more clients. If you're looking to increase your direct response sales, create a big-time personal brand, and become the go-to guru, the Speaking of Wealth show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome an author whose books I have enjoyed very, very much, and that is Mr. M.J. DeMarco. He's the founder of Viperion Publishing and the Fastlane Forum. He's the former founder and CEO of Limos, Inc., a best-selling author of Millionaire Fastlane, Crack the Code to Wealth, and Live Rich for a Lifetime, and the newer book, Unscripted, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Entrepreneurship. MJ, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jason?
Good, good. It's great to have you. I got to say, I have consumed material like this for decades, ever since I was 17 years old and discovered the people that changed my life, Dennis Waitley, Earl Nightingale, Zig Ziglar, and Jim Rohn, my four mentors. I haven't really come across what I'd almost call a motivational book that impacted me as much as your two books. I thought they were phenomenal. So thank you for your contribution to thought and just inspiration. It's great stuff. Give our listeners kind of just an idea of your overall worldview, if you would, so we can kind of dive into some of your philosophies.
As the book title is titled, is Unscripted. And my worldview is not to follow the script that the world is giving to you. In this case, it's usually a country or educational system or some kind of institution that has a invested interest in you following a particular script, whether that's going to college and spending an absolute fortune on a degree where there's no jobs for.
Total ripoff, yeah.
Yeah, or faithfully investing all your money into the stock market because, you know, Wall Street, you know, they're notorious for making average common people rich, unlike themselves who, you know, are living in a doghouse. Philosophy is just to question everything, especially when they're coming from institutions, not to be paranoid, but we live in a system that is predicated on what I like to call is economic slavery. Mm-hmm. People really don't question it. They don't know why they're doing the things they're doing or the things they're buying. The world is filled with hyper realities. What I like to say is like Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday through Friday is a human construct that's part of the system, that's part of the script. And people willfully trade away their Monday through Friday for the payment of a Saturday and Sunday. And I think that's embodies the true nature of the script is that kind of type of trade, mm-hmm. which just makes no sense because you wouldn't take that trade in the financial world. But when it comes to time, people willfully do it, and they do it without question.
That's a really good point. You know, in Chapter 8 of Unscripted, you talk about hyper-reality. Explain that. What does that mean, hyper-reality?
It's a type of situation that people perceive as reality, where in actuality, it's not a reality. It's a faux image or it's an illusion. And again, Monday through Friday is a perfect example of a hyper reality, because if aliens visited the planet, they wouldn't recognize Monday through Friday. Monday equals a Saturday. Saturday equals a Thursday. They're all the same. There's no celestial reason for a Monday through Friday. It's a human construct to institute order. Right. So the script is all about these types of hyper-realities. Mm-hmm. Money itself is a hyper-reality. It only has value because we all mutually believe it has value. Freedom, that's another, unfortunately, another hyper-reality. If you don't pay your taxes, you know, I live in a nice house. If I just say, you know, I'm not going to pay my property taxes anymore, even though I paid cash for the house, have no loans or anything on it, they're going to come and take away my house simply because I don't pay taxes. Take off your license plate of your car. So freedoms is also another hyper reality. And there's a whole laundry list of them that people assume that these things are real when they're actually their caricatures of the real world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a whole bunch of chapters under the subhead, Beliefs, Biases, and Bullshit. And I just want to kind of outline some of those for a minute and then, you know, have you talk about some specifically. So you talk about our self-imposed prison, the lies we believe, the shortcut scam, the special scam, the consumption scam, the money scam, the poverty scam, the luck scam, the frugality scam, the compound interest scam. And, you know, most of our audience is, you know, they're into real estate investing. So I'd love to hear more about that one specifically. The biases and then BS from bullshit. Okay. And I can't say it without cussing a little bit. But yeah, you know, it's amazing the kind of stuff we've really fallen for, isn't it, MJ?
Yeah, and all those biases and the bullshit, as we say, are stemming from the hyper-realities. That's what my book aims to do, is get people to see these hyper-realities and the kind of actions that they're causing for them. You know, you mentioned the compound interest scam. You know, compound interest, it's a scam, not because the math doesn't work. Now, we know the math works. You just go on a napkin and you do it and it works. But when it's put in the confines of time, unlimited, reckless government spending, Wall Street fees, whatnot, frugality, a lifetime of employment requirements, all these other variables, it becomes a scam. And I'm not talking about real estate investments or business. I'm just talking about the way it is peddled to the mainstream, which is work your ass off for 50 years, be frugal as hell, stop taking vacations, stop doing this, stop doing that, give all that money to Wall Street. And congratulations, after 50 or 60 years, you're going to be rich and then you can finally live your wonderful life. See, that's the scam. That's absolute bullshit. It's almost like the analogy I like to say is you're on a sinking Titanic and the compound interest blowhards, the sycophants, are going to tell you, just be patient. A lifeboat is coming by in 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Just be patient. It's coming by in 4 hours. But you don't
have by then you'll have hypothermia and you'll be dead. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You only have 2 hours. So that's why it's very important to look at this within the context of our lives. Again, the math is perfect. The math works. But in the confines of inflation and all these other variables, reality, it's a scam that is peddled by the trillion-dollar financial industry. And anyone that survives it, survivor bias anyone, you're going to see those people propped up on the front page of Yahoo Finance. Oh, look at Joe and Cindy. They retired at 45 by living a life of absolute mind-numbing frugality and getting back to Wall Street.
That doesn't sound like very much fun, you know?
And that's the scripted system that people are following without question.
The other problem with that script, as you say it, is that that frugality script, although there's a certain amount of, I guess, prudence that is, you know, valid, right? But, I mean, you know, you shouldn't be a spendthrift and idiot. But the problem with the frugality script is that it kind of damages our subconscious minds, doesn't it? It puts us in the scarcity mentality. And then every action we take and every decision we make just comes out of, like, scarcity. And that's just not going to serve us, is it?
Yeah, you're swapping slaves, basically. Someone say, well, I'm not going to be a slave to my job. And they quit and they become a slave to frugality, meaning everything is coveted. Every expense is just mind-numbingly just managed. And swapping your slave master doesn't change the reality.
Right.
Or you know, their slave master is Wall Street. Well, you know, the stock market has to do 10% this year and 20%. And it's really big right now because the market is going crazy. But people forget that any compound interest calculation has to have an asset class attached to it. Well, interest rates have been notoriously at 0 and 1% for the last decade. So that is the risk-free rate, is the 0% is the risk-free rate. So the gurus are hoping you're going to take a lot more risk, which makes them rich, so you can get these promised rates that, you know, the S&P has returned 12% in the last X number of years and yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, that's all hindsight stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. You know, I like to say Wall Street is great at making people rich. The only problem is all the people it's making rich are the insiders. You know, they're not the regular investors. Those are the sheep that are, you know, just being led to slaughter. It's unbelievable. And it's hard to say that right now because, you know, we're hearing all these record highs in the stock market. But over time, look, over time, nobody wins. I don't know anybody who got rich buying stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. I know lots of people that got rich buying real estate and owning yes. businesses, but nobody, not a single person. When I do seminars, MJ, and I ask that question, I ask people to raise their hands. And occasionally, there's like the lone hand that goes up. And then I'll ask, well, tell us about it. And they'll always say one of two things. It's either, well, my friend trades options and he seems to be making money and, you know, but it's unreliable. Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, yeah, maybe you can have a good run just like a gambler can.
Sure.
And then the other one you'll hear is you'll say, well, my friend started this business and then they went public and they made a fortune. Well, that's an insider, you know.
Exactly.
Or they'll say something dumb like, well, what about Warren Buffett? Well, he's an insider, people.
Yes, he's an activist
insider. Yeah.
They control management decisions. They're able to move markets. And that's a huge difference between, you know, the average Joe investor and the activist investor. You know, you talk about, like, when I look at my life, I'm sure when you look at your life, it has nothing to do with the stock market. We created assets that subscribe to a different mathematical equation. And that's something I always try to preach is when any kind of career or pursuit, you attach yourself to a mathematical equation that will govern how much wealth you can create. Mm-hmm. And that's why real estate, you have a lot of real estate people on your show who have made a lot of money. You have a lot of entrepreneurs that make a lot of money. And that's because they are attaching themselves to an equation, a mathematical equation, that has unlimited and leveraged metrics within it. When you have a job, you don't have that because your metrics are based on a yearly salary, or if you're paid hourly, the number of hours in the day. If your wealth equation comes back to the stock market, again, you're held to how much the stock market can make you, which is 10, 20% if you're having a good year, you know, and then it goes down 50% another year. So that's the essence of why people do not get rich, is because their equations absolutely suck. So what we want to do is get into the better equation.
Okay, so what's the better equation? I mean, you're basically, it sounds like at the heart of it, MJ, you're talking about the equation of trading time for money. That's not a good deal. Now, you know, we usually have to do that for a while. And mm-hmm. then we use that time we traded for money, or we use the money we got for the time to parlay that into something like real estate investments or an entrepreneurial mm-hmm. venture. You would agree that we usually have to do that for a time, right?
Sure, absolutely. But here's the distinction. I have no problem spending a lot of time on a project or an investment or something that will not only earn me money, but it will earn me time. That's a very important distinction, because when you're trading your time, all you're doing is you're trading it for money. So if I'm creating a project, it has to have a time return as well. That's why real estate is very potent, because it puts time as your ally. You make money every month because the rent comes in. So the passage of time becomes, oh, yes, cool. So that's how you have to look at these equations, is putting time on your side versus having it your enemy, where, oh my God, it's Monday again, and I have to go trade my 8 hours and in order to get my paycheck. So the distinction is, trade your time, sure, but put it into things that will pay also time and money. It took me a couple years to write my books. Well, those books have made me an income for the last 10 years, not 10 years, maybe 8 years. But that's the whole essence of it, is, you know, while I'm speaking with you right now, you know, some people may order my book. I'm making money. This podcast, you know, someone may come across it a year from now and say, you know, I like what this guy says. I'm going to go buy his book, or I'm going to go join his forum or whatever. And then maybe I'll make a few dollars. Again, that time has already been passed. I've already expended the time. But those entities, those leveraged or those legacy structures are still working for me in time separate from my time. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think it boils down, MJ, to the concept of leverage. And, you know, whether it be leverage, you know, getting your money to have leverage. And that's why I love income property as an investment. I think it's the best investment class, best performing investment class in the world is income property. Or if it's getting your time or other people to have leverage, you know, then that's a business, right? An entrepreneurial venture. Like you explained about the book, the podcast, there's scale, there's leverage to it. So you've got to do things that provide leverage. And as an investment, I don't think you can get better leverage on anything than you can on income property. And as far as your time and your brains and your thoughts and your ambition, you got to ultimately get into your own business at some point. You can't get leverage trading dollars for time, even if you get charge a lot of dollars. You know, very expensive lawyers or accounting firms, they charge insane rates, but still they're making a bad trade. That trade just ultimately doesn't work, does it?
Yeah, I mean, I make more than most lawyers and I work 90% less than them. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, because of these equations I'm talking about. And when we're talking about leverage, I want to make something clear here that when you say the word leverage, most people think, especially when we're talking about real estate, putting in 5% down on a property and, you know, getting a loan on the rest. I view leverage as the ability to scale those mathematics unlimitedly. For instance, I can easily print 1 million books without much issue. That's leverage, having that unlimited scale. As a real estate investor, there's nothing stopping you other than finances to go out and buy an apartment complex that has 300 units or multiple single family homes. So there's no cap to what you can possibly do. Unlike, you know, when you're trading your time, there is a cap. There's only 24 hours in the day. There's only 1 year that you can have a salary. There's only one boss that's going to give you a raise for 3%. So we want to be in structures or entities that have unlimited metrics where you can scale those up. It could be products where you're just manufacturing multiple products. It could be a traffic in case of a website. You know, my forum could have 1 million users without issue again. See, there's no cap. There's no ceiling. And this is how we get into these mathematics again. This is how people get rich because they have those caps are removed. This is how get rich quick happens, and get rich quick happens all the time. And it's because, again, of those mathematics of unlimited scaling possibility.
MJ, I want to ask you about some of your commandments before you go. You've already alluded to maybe all of them, but I just want to make sure we cover them all. But before we do that, I just want to ask you a general question. You do touch on it in your books, and maybe you're not going to be prepared for this question, but I'm going to throw it out there. So do with it what you will. But what do you think of the general culture today, the political environment? I know you have some opinions about this, you know, the sort of entitlement attitude that seems to be so pervasive in at least half the population of the country, maybe more, unfortunately. Kind of give us your general thoughts on that.
It's a form of scripted control. Other people trying to control what other people think to put them in a system that makes them money. It's all about obedience and economic slavery, or it could be constituent slavery, where people are peddling to a group of people who they can count on their votes. It's all a scam. Again, life is filled with scams, and life isn't fair because of these scams. But ultimately, we live in the greatest time of human history. All of the world's knowledge is at our fingertips, and it's mostly free. When I look at my life and all the skills I've had to learn and acquire over the years, I say to myself, you know what? None of that I learned at college. I learned it all by being active, by taking action and increasing my skills and dedicating my time into efforts that enhance my skills and my knowledge, as opposed to wasting it on an HBO show or crying in the stands because some football team lost.
You know, I'm going to get some haters on this one, but spectator sports, That's like the opiate of the masses. I mean, it's just mind-boggling that how people spend so much time and money on that and wear jerseys of their favorite team. I mean, that just boggles me how much control that has over people's minds. I mean,
sure.
You know, I guess I have one too. I like music. I like going to concerts. So I guess that's the same as the spectator sport in a way.
But there's a difference between entertainment, though. And absolute, that's your meaning and purpose in life.
Yeah.
If you're crying in the stands because your football team lost, you have a meaning and purpose problem.
Or worse than that, if you're rioting because your team won or lost, even if they win, they riot. It's nuts, you know.
Yeah, so let's not confuse entertainment. I mean, I love watching a football game or going to a concert. That's entertainment. Right. But I'm not going to cry or spend a fortune on these things. Because think about it. If your favorite team wins the World Series for the next 6 years in a row, what do you get?
Nothing.
You get paycheck?
Nothing.
You get vacation time?
I know.
You get a harem of women at your door? I mean, what do you get? You get nothing.
You get nothing.
Except entertainment and bragging rights over some blumpkin who lives 1,000 miles away. It's just ridiculous. That's a hyper-reality.
Yeah.
Entertainment is a hyper-reality.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Okay. So the commandments, you talk about control, entry, need, time, scale. Those are some of your commandments. Now,
the sense commandments?
Sense commandments. Yeah. I think we might have touched on all of them. We definitely touched on scale and time. Do you want to talk about any of those others?
The tabletop of all of them is need. Mm-hmm. And I think in today's world, entrepreneurship has perverted need. We have a lot of people that want to be entrepreneurs, but they want to be entrepreneurs for the wrong reason. They want to get rich. They want a Ferrari. They want to follow their passion. They want to do blah, 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 blah. And they ignore the most important part of entrepreneurship is that is finding a damn need or a want and filling it. And this is why, you know, when gurus are out on the podium saying, do what you love and follow your passion, all that, again, is more bullshit peddled by people who either have something to sell, because that's an easy sell. You know, if you're going to tell me I can follow my passion and make millions, but by God, I'm going to buy your program, because that's easy. No one wants to hear the secret to success is not doing what you love, but doing what you hate. And I look at my life and I say, you know what? It's because I've done things that I absolutely hate to do. And then when you have results, when you actually, your feedback loop kicks on and people tell you, oh, you know, your product has changed my life, or this is great, that inspires passion. So passion does not lead, it follows. Meaning winning inspires passion. You ever notice how when a football team or a baseball team is winning, they're all happy and excited?
Right.
That's because winning inspires passion. And yet when they're losing, they absolutely look miserable. And they're still, what, they could be passionate about playing the game, but they're still miserable, because winning is what inspires passion. So do the hard work. And yes, it may not be easy. It may not be passionate. It may not be something you enjoy. But when you do the hard work, eventually that passion will follow you around and it will throw in some money to boot, which makes it even better.
Right. Absolutely. You know, you, MJ, when you're talking about this, you're reminding me of the Jim Rohn quote, the pain of discipline weighs ounces, the pain of regret weighs tons. Like there's that book, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. Well, you're saying do what you hate and the money will follow. But, you know, you rarely hate it for long when you see results. And like you said, the feedback loop kicks in. You love it. If you hate going to the gym, but you force yourself to do it, then the results follow and you feel really good about yourself.
You
right?
In the mirror, you're like, oh my God. And all of a sudden that feedback loop kicks on.
Yeah.
So this is why we want to pursue ventures that are filling genuine needs and creating value in the market. It's relative value. That's important, because there's a lot of value out there, but it's not relatively value. You can create a blog on weight loss. I'm sure it's valuable, but it's not relatively valuable, because there's so many more out there. And that brings up the other commandment, and that is entry. If it's super easy to get into something, are you really solving a problem? Because then it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. If I can snap my fingers and solve a problem, is it really a problem? So entry says you want to be able to enter into spaces where it takes a process to solve the problem. It takes some, the difficulty is the problem, if that makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. because there's no problems to be solved if everyone can do what you're doing. So that's another metric. And the other one we touched on is control, is you want to control everything, or at least have a modicum of control in everything that you're doing. So there is no particular entity that could, you know, sweep out the rug from under you. And one day, you're, you know, you're making $50,000 a month, and then the next you're making nothing because one entity decided to change something. That could be a terms of service if you're piggybacking on a service like Facebook or something, or 100% of your income is from Amazon, and you know you're doing some, you know, suspicious things on there, and Amazon, you know, comes in and says, well, we're canceling you, and then boom, you're out of business, or your only product is sold to Walmart, and Walmart says, we're shifting gears, we're changing, boom, you're out of business. So that's the kind of things we don't want to get involved. Well, we can get involved in it, but we have to mitigate those types of risks. So, you know, because when we're creating something, we don't want all our value that we've created to be dissipated in one decision by somebody else. So it's mitigating risk. That's what control is all about.
Yeah, good. Good stuff. MJ, one of the last chapters in your unscripted book is Welcome to FU. And I think that's probably good to wrap up with. So what is FU? And everybody knows what it stands for.
FU is the ability to live your life on your terms. That's walking into a house and paying cash for it. That's looking into the, you know, the car dealership and saying, you know, I can pay cash for that. That's getting up on Monday and, you know, taking a drive to Sedona because it's a Monday and you feel like it. Traveling when you want. It's writing books that the mainstream necessarily isn't going to like. Publishers won't touch it, but I still can write it. Because it's my publishing company. Right. It's autonomy. It's freedom. It's having no interest in that damn football game and caring about what happened on HBO, Game of Thrones, because my life is that much better. I have my life is my television show. And that's the essence of FU, is getting away from all these scripted institutions that put you into this narrow framework, this narrow train where it's just repeat, repeat, repeat for 50 years. And then if you're lucky, by the time you're 65, you could finally go hit that bucket list.
Good stuff. Good stuff. MJ, I loved your books on Audible. I like the audio versions a lot because they've got, you know, passion in them and emotion in them. Of course, people can read them and get the books at all the usual places. But is there a website you want to give out, or maybe the site for you, the link for your forum or anything like that?
Sure. TheFastLaneForum.com. Again, TheFastLaneForum.com. It's absolutely free to join. There's tons of free content on there. So just come on by. It's very active. It's not like a ghost town or anything. It's people who want to discuss these philosophies. They're living it. There's a lot of stories on there from people having wake-up calls where they make money while they're sleeping. And when you see people post about that, oh, my God, I just woke up and I made $400. It's like the light comes on. It's like entrepreneurial heroin. And it's just once they get to that point, there's no going back.
Yeah, good stuff. MJ DeMarco, thank you for joining us today. Keep up the good work and keep getting this message out. We appreciate having you on the show.
I appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com. For appropriate disclaimers and terms of service, remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.